So let's just say, so quickly you have, I'm just reviewing quickly from yesterday. So you have a machlokas of asra safek is shema asra, or not shema asra. Now the means is that when you warn you, in order to punish a guy, you have to warn him. Okay, so in order to punish a guy, you have to warn him before he does a crime. And he has to say, I don't care, even though you're warning me, I'm going to do it anyways. Even though I'm going to get this punishment, I'm doing it anyways. And then that certain type of like a rebelliousness that is necessary in order to for it to be a guy, to punish a guy. The question is let's say the case is that if you do this, the case is, if you do this crime, then if you do another crime, or then if something else happens, then you're going to get punished. So in other words, the nature of the warning has like a doubt built into it. Okay, so you say, if you steal this item and then you don't return it, you're going to get whipped. So then does that count as a sufficient, is that hasra or is it not hasra? Okay, assuming that you all, that the only way you get whipped for stealing is when you'd steal it and not return it. Okay, so when you warn the guy, the moment you warn the guy, you can't just say that if you steal, then you're going to get, well, then you're going to get punished. Because it's not true. Because if you correct it, then you're not going to get punished. So the warning is going to have to say, if you steal and you don't correct it, then you get punished. So that's a maybe. So if you steal, then maybe you're going to get punished. So that's a machlokes. Is that considered asra or is it not considered asra? Okay, so for starters, we said that the question is that the idea of hasra, the whole idea of hasra is you're rendering the guy into like a, so it's rendering the crime into a mezid, into like a certain flagrant type of a crime. So it's a mezid according to the way we hold this, as Rabbi Yehuda argues. But we hold the mezid doesn't just mean you know about it in the back of your head, but it means you know, it's like in your face type of a crime. Like you know the thing, and it's in the front of your mind, it's being made known to you at the moment of the thing, and you're saying, I don't care, I'm doing it anyways. That's what you punish a guy for. It's a certain type of rebelliousness in the crime, and that's the function of hasra, is to render the crime of that sort. That's the idea. So you warn him, and right away he says, "I don't care. I'm doing it anyways." Right before, also, there can't be any gap in time between that. It has to be right before the crime. So that's the idea of hasra. So that's what you need hasra. Now the argument is that if you warn the guy and say, "If you do this crime, then maybe you're going to get punished." So the maybe, that's what he holds, is that the suffix undermines the whole function of the hasra. Okay, it's not shma hasra. It means the idea of hasra is to render it a certain type of rebelliousness, and the maybe is like a mitigating factor. And therefore that's not hasra. Hasra isn't just that you warned him, but it has a certain effect in rendering the sin a certain type of rebelliousness. Once there's a maybe attached to it, then it lacks in hasra. Whereas the other position holds, then, I mean, we'll get to make this better later, but the position holds is that, look, bottom line is, the hasra is that what renders it rebellious is that you've fully laid out the terms and conditions right before you did the crime. You said, if you do so-and-so, and then you don't return it, then you're going to get whipped. And he says, I don't care, I understand those terms, and I'm fully accepting it. So he holds that the fact is that the fact that he is given hasra, he's explained the terms and he accepted those terms, then what he does is has a rebelliousness. That's the question is, does the fact that there's a suffix built into it and it's not 100%, does that undermine the whole status of the hasra and the mezid, the rebelliousness of the thing? Or you say no, that halakhically, as long as you have the components of the hasra, it's still maybe it's less rebellious, but it's not halakhically, doesn't undermine the hasra altogether. So that's machlokas. Now, if the machlokas, exactly what the point of machlokas bothers you, so you could say either it's like an intuitive question, is whether or not that undermines hasra. It's true, like it diminishes from the rebelliousness, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't register as hasra. Not every quantity of diminution of the rebelliousness takes away from hasra. So what? Whether or not, I'm not sure why you would or wouldn't, it could be as tall as, depends on the Shikla Das, intuition of the Tana. But for the Rambam, we end up saying better, a different idea. The Rambam doesn't learn that the Machlokes is that way. Okay, so let's turn to the Rambam now. So, the Rambam's basically Paskins in the case of Lavan, in this case of Gezik and Eva, he says, Asra Savik Shema Asra, period. Okay? Because Asra Savik is Asra. That's the case in Sanhedrin, Lavanitic Lassai. Then in Neshuas, he has a case. He says, if you swear that someone else is going to eat a kikar, someone else is going to eat something, so then he says, then you don't get malchus for a shua shot. Why? Because if the other guy eats the kikar, if the guy ends up not doing it, whatever, if the terms end up not being met, so then it turns out you really did the crime of shoshav, of a false swear, whatever shoshav means. Shoshav, shoshak, let's keep it vague for now. So why? So if it ends up happening, you really violate it. So why don't you get malchus? So the Ram says, because it's asra safik. Because the time that you swear, they're going to have to warn you and say, hey, don't do this swearing, because if you do this swearing and then later the other guy eats this thing, you're going to get punished. So that's maybe. That's if you do this, and then if. So that's asra safik. So the problem is that the Ram holds asra safik. Is Asra. So who cares that it's Asra Safik? You know, says Asra Safik is Asra. He says, no, because it's Asra Safik, and Asra Safik is only considered Asra when the Lav Shebo is Mefurash, when the Lav is explicit. When the warning is explicit, like I explained in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Okay? So the problem is he didn't explain in Hilchos Sanhedrin, it would seem. And what does he even mean, Lav is Mefurash? All Lavs are Mefurash. Like, Lo Sisa Shem Kach Lashav. Right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Right? It's always been lav is not mefurash. Shoshav is, I mean, that's, what does he even mean? That's what the Kaf says, every lav is mefurash. And where does he come up with this distinction? I mean, what's this whole, he doesn't say anything like that. Okay. So the answer we said is like this, is that according to the Rambam, see, the problem with Asra Safik is not the fact that it's Safik per se. Safik could be Asra. That's not, that per se. The fact that you do have to, in the warning, you say, if you do this, that's fine. That could be Hasra. The problem is that when it's a suffix, the guy will say, the guy could always tie it up, that's not what the Torah was referring to. The Torah was warning me, don't do a certain crime. And I'm maybe going to do this crime. Maybe yes, maybe no. As the Torah said, don't make a false shua. And is this false shua? Oh, maybe yes, maybe no. So he has like a rationalization that maybe it isn't. So the fact that he does that, the fact that that exists, so that's what lacks in the rebelliousness, because he'll distance himself from that which the Torah was prohibiting. That's the problem with Safik. So therefore, what? So he says this, but when the lav of the Torah itself is intrinsically on a case where there's a Safik, there's a built-in Safik in the Torah. So then you can't say anymore. I'll explain that. But then you can't say that you're not doing what the Torah warned on. The Torah's case automatically has suffix. So for instance, in Lav Nitagase, the Torah's the full crime of stealing is stealing and not returning. So when the Torah says, don't steal, because if you steal, then maybe you're not going to return it. Because that's like built into the Torah. It says, don't steal, and if you do, then return it. So when you steal, whether or not this is the full-blown stealing or not, and the stealing of Malchus is hanging based upon whether I return or I don't return it. So you can't say, well, oh, that's not what Torah meant. Torah didn't mean to steal it because I think I'm going to return it. The Torah knows that. The Torah's saying, even though the Torah knows that maybe you're going to return, Torah says, don't steal, and then you better return it. So therefore, you can't distance yourself and say, oh, it's not rebellious because I'm not going against what the Torah meant. That's not what Torah meant. That is what the Torah meant. Is the Lav Shebo Mefurash, this is what Kafa explains, I think it's good, is that it means that in the Lav itself, it's explicit that there's going to be Safik. Because so by Lav Nitagase, it's a Lav, which is, this is prohibited, and don't do it and then not correct it. Then if you do it, you better correct it. So you are doing exactly what the Torah prohibited. That's the Lav Shebo Mefurash. So then you can't say anymore, you can't rationalize it and say, that's not what Torah meant. That's not what Torah meant. That is what Torah meant. So that's what he says, the Lav Shebo Mefurash, he means it's Mefurash, that it's on Safik. And when he says, like I explained in Hilchos Sanhedrin, he doesn't mean that he explained this distinction in Hilchos Sanhedrin, because he didn't. He just means, unless the Lav is Mefurash, that it's on Safik. Oh, what does that even mean? What kind of case is the Lav is Mefurash and that it's on Safik? Oh, like I explained in Hilchos Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin, the case of Lav Nitagase is the case where the Lav is Mefurash. So that's what he's referencing you Mefurash in the manner in which I explained in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Not that he explained this distinction in Sanhedrin, but in the manner which in Hilchos Sanhedrin, namely where the Lav is Mefurash, that it's a case of Safik. It's clear that the case intrinsically has a doubt built into it. So that's the Rambam learns Machlokes Asra Safik Shema Asra is that what's the problem with Asra Safik? Is it that because when it's Safik, then it's not what the Torah meant? it's distancing yourself from what the Torah meant. So if that's the case, then when it's Mefurash, then that is Asra. Then that's fine. That's a perfect Asra. Or do you say intrinsically the Suffolk itself takes away from Asra? The fact that it's a doubt, that itself takes away from the Gavra's rebelliousness. It has nothing to do with whether the Torah meant it didn't mean it. It's just intrinsically that lacks in the rebelliousness, and therefore that's not considered Asra. So that's what the Ram learns in the Machlokas of Hasra, Safek, Shema, Hasra. A real Hasra, Safek, where it's really, where that's not even what the Torah meant, like his case of Shvua, that everyone agrees that's not Hasra. Because there, it's Safek, and that's not what the Torah was referring to. We'll always say that's not what the Torah was referring to. So that's definitely not Hasra. That's not even the Machlokas of Hasra, Safek. The Machlokas of Hasra, Safek is where it's a Safek, but the Torah meant the case of Safek. So do you say that since it's Asra, it's Lav Shem Asra? Or do you say, no, is that since that's what the Torah meant, therefore that is Asra? That's Shem Asra. You know what I mean? Shem Asra means the Asra, the suffix itself, the doubt itself, doesn't undermine the status of Asra. It, only if the doubt is not what the Torah meant, then it takes away. But the Asra, the suffix per se, doesn't take away. You know what I mean? But even he'll agree in the case where it's Asra Safik, it's not what the Torah meant, it's not Mefurash, then Asra is not Asra. And that's what the case of the Machlokas is in the Gemara, the cases are the, these cases where it is Mefurash, but like Lavanet de Glasay, that's the case. And the case of the two Kikars, which where we have to get to. Remember that's the problem we have hanging. So it says, Lashem Asra just holds that for it's nothing to do with what the Torah meant, Torah didn't mean. It's the Safik itself undermines the rebelliousness of the guy. Shame Safek contradicts Asra. You can't have Safek and Asra. Aye, that's Torah meant, fine. So that's the Torah. I mean, Malchus, you don't get Malchus in that case. Or you have to learn and relearn it. Akima, whatever. You have to. Can't be that. If it's Asra, Safek, you can't be that you get Malchus. Safek and Asra are a contradiction according to that side. Okay, the normal case, Shua Shav is. A guy just makes a Shua that's Shav. He just swears that this metal thing, this is wood. Whatever, it's just an open, that's Torah meant. Don't make it, it's just a lie. It's using Nick God's name as a lie. But if you're saying is, I swear that they're going to eat, that Mr. So-and-so is going to eat this piece of bread. So look, I think he will. And I'm swearing that he will. Now it turns out maybe he won't. So if he doesn't, he doesn't. I don't know. I thought he was. That's not what Torah meant. Torah was talking about. But the fact that you could say that and you play out a scenario in your head which says that I thought he was, so he'll say that that's, that's the rationalization. That takes away. That's not what it'll say. That's not the Torah meant the case where it's Shav. I didn't think it was Shav. I thought it was gonna work out. But you can't say I stole the thing and I thought I was gonna return it. Because the Torah said don't steal it, and then the Torah knew that you think you could return it. That's there's no other case. That every case of Gzela has that you think you're gonna return it. But that's what the Torah prohibited. Don't steal it, and then you better return it. You know what I mean? But by Shvo Shav, the standard case Shvo Shav isn't that. Then a Shvo Shav is where you just make a Shvo Shav at the moment you make it. It's Shvo Shav. But I haven't been through all the cases. I don't think the Rambam is splitting a psak like the Gemara argues about everything, and he's saying is I'm passing like this here and this here. I think he's saying is the whole machlokas is only a case where it's mefurash in the Krah. But if it's the case of this other case, then everyone would agree that it's in the case which of Shvua, by the way, this case of Shvua, others, the Gemara doesn't say that it's a Shvua Safek. The Gemara has like his pater, and it's not clear why. And the Ram's explanation. So the Gemara doesn't say that's the machlokas of Asra Safek Shema Asra. So that's what they're saying. The Ram's learning that's not a case of Asra Safek Ota. That's not the machlokas of Asra Safek.
Why does he call it that anyway?
Oh, because it is Asra Safek. I mean, it is Asra Safek according to both guys. I mean, even if you say, I mean, it has the quality of Safek, but that kind of Asra Safek, no one even argues about.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now the problem is, now we have a big problem. Okay, I think it's big. Chaim, you don't think it's that big. Okay,
fine.
Okay. You don't think you understood what? So far, you don't think you understood yesterday? Or the next thing?
You know what I'm saying? I don't think I understood before here, so that might be why I'm thinking this wrong.
Okay, fine. So the thing is like this, is that the case is, the Rambam, there is another case by Shvua, which, and the Nosi can't bring this up, but there's another case by Shvua, which the Gemara does say is a case of Shvua, of Hasra Safek. And since the Gemara says it's a case of Hasra Safek, the Rambam paskins that it is a Shvua Hasra. The Rambam paskins Yechayev. Okay? Rampaz Yechayev. And it's a case of Shua Shaker. Okay? It is this case. It seems to be the same kind of case. And namely, the cases where you swear that I'm not going to eat this small roll. If I eat little roll, little piece of bread, then I'm not going to eat big piece of bread. Okay? That's a shvur. If I eat little roll, little piece of bread, then I'm not going to eat big piece of bread. Like he's on a diet, let's say. So if I eat this little piece, I realize I've got problems, so I'm not going to eat the big one. Now something like that. Okay? So then he does is if he eats the big one first. So is that a violation of his shvur? So the answer is it depends. Depends what happens later. If he ends up eating the small one, so then it turns out retroactively that the big one was really shvur, was the prohibition. Right? So it's hanging. So at the time where he eats the big one, so they're going to warn him and say, hey, don't eat this big one, because if you eat this big one, and then later maybe you're going to eat the little one, then again, it turns out it's going to be a malchus. So that's a shvur safek. And the Rambam paskins in that case, Yechayev. He doesn't say it's a shvur safek, but the Gemara says it's a shvur safek. And he says he's chayev, because presumably because he holds a shvur safek shma shvur. Right? The problem is that's the law of the same, that's the law of shvur, So, is this law mefarsh or is it not mefarsh? Right, is it mefarsh or is it not mefarsh? Right, so the question is is shvur the kind of law which is mefarsh b'torah that it's on a safek, or is it not? Because according to the Rambam, the whole thing of shvur safek, according to the Rambam, is only by, he says, there's only a case, the only case where he says Asra Safik is where it's Mephorsh, that's on Safik. So it seems if I'm saying this is Asra Safik and it's considered Asra, so it must be that this is a law which is Mephorsh, that's on Safik. So then the Shvur is the law. So that's the case then over there also. So in the case of where you say, you swear that someone, some other guy will eat your roll, he'll eat this roll, so then you should say also. Why there is he treating Shvur as it's not Mephorsh, because on this one it is Mephorsh.
When you come to warn him, you say...
Well, I think it's easier. The easier case is Shvushav. A Shvushav, the average case of Shvushav, is you make a Shvur that you say something crazy. You swear that this paper thing is metal. Or you swear that this metal thing is metal. You're just wasting Shem Hashem. You're just saying God's name for nothing. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? So just, it's like for naught. So that, in general, is going to be the violation at the moment that you're doing it. There's no doubts in the thing. The action is intrinsically a violation. And therefore, when you do it in a way where its nothingness is contingent upon some future event, so you could always say, well, that's not what the Torah meant, that's not what the Torah was talking about. The Torah was talking about a case, so the average case of Shvur Shav is where it's straight out, this action is intrinsically prohibited. So that's Safek. So therefore, that's what he's saying, is that's a Shvur Safek L'Shma Shav, because that's not what the Torah is referring to. That's not the standard case of Shvur Shav. Right? That's fine. But then when it comes to Shvur Sheker, so what's the normal case of Shvur Sheker? Normal case of Shvur Sheker is, let's say, there's different ways. Let's say one way is to say, I swear that I ate something, or that I didn't eat something. So then, at the moment that you make it, it's either true or false. Right? Or you swear, I swear that I'm going to eat something. You swear I'm going to eat something, so then, I'm sorry, let's say I swear I'm not going to eat something. So I'm not going to eat something. So then, at the moment that you're about to eat it, they warn you, say, hey, don't do this because you'll be violating Shvur Sheker by eating it. So then the action that you're doing at the moment that you're doing it is definitely going to be Shvur Sheker. It's definitely going to be a violation of Shvur Sheker. So therefore, the law would seem to be, under normal conditions, it's a definite, there's no built-in suffix into the thing. It's only in this funny case where you make a shvur that I'm going to eat, if I eat the little one, I'm not going to eat the big one. Then when you eat the big one, that action is a happenstance of a case of suffix. I'll say, that's not what the Torah meant. The Torah wasn't talking about that case. The Torah was talking about a case where it's definitely a shvur sheker, where my eating is definitely a violation. So therefore, why don't you say that that's not considered hasra? Just like in the case of shvur shav, that's not considered hasra. Why is it that you say that that's, because that's lav mefurash, that's lav shvur mefurash, that it's not the lav of shvur sheker, isn't a lav which is by its very nature, a law which has suffix built into it, like by Nitaglasai. Right, that's the problem. Maybe I'm going to a similar approach as what David's saying. That, see, Shavuot is a different Isser than any other Isser in Torah. See, because Shavuot is a funny Isser, but the Torah allows you to make your own Isser. That's what Shavuot works. Shavuot says, whatever you say goes. Right? It's a swear. And if you swear, then you're bound by the Shavuot, by the Shavuot. Right? If you say that, whatever you say you're going to do, you have to do. So now it becomes a violation if you go against Yeshua. So what's Mefurash? What is the Mefurash in the Torah about Shavuot? So Mefurash is the Kol Yotzei Mepivyasa, whatever you say goes. Right? So the that which is explicit is, like, it's so to speak, what takes the place of the Pasuk by Shavuot is what you say. You are the Pasuk, so to speak. You are, because the Torah is saying, you got to do whatever you say, whatever you said. So whatever you say is what the Torah meant. The Torah endorses whatever you say. You say, I'm going to jump up and down 5 times, the Torah said, you jump up and down 5 times. That's so whatever you said. That is the Mefurash. Okay? So if you make a Shavuah that if I eat the little one, then I won't eat the big one. So that is a Shavuah which you made, and that's a Shavuah that has a built-in suffix. So it's like it's mefurish in the command that it's a shvua of safek. So the shvua itself has built into it the safek. Okay, notice that the prohibition on the big one is a prohibition of safek. It's a maybe prohibition. You're not making it like an absolute prohibition. You're making a prohibition which is dependent on safek. So that's the way you're forging the prohibition. So therefore, It's the same thing. You can't say anymore, oh, I didn't, that's not what the Torah meant. That's not what I meant when I said I won't eat the big one. But, you know, when I made the Shavuah. No, you made a Shavuah, which is dependent upon a condition. So it built into the Shavuah is the condition. So you can't say anymore that it's not rebellious because that wasn't, I thought I wasn't going to do it. What do you mean you thought you weren't going to do it? The whole reason you set up a Shavuah on the big one, which is contingent upon the maybe of eating the small one. So therefore, you can't say anymore that this is like a deviation from the nature of the command, because you set up the command and you set it with it has built-in doubts built into it, that it's a contingent type of a thing. Just like the Avinita Glase is built-in, set up by the Torah in a way that it has a doubt built into it, and it's the violation is contingent upon the Kim of the Asay. You set up the prohibition that your prohibition, the violation of the big one is contingent upon the small one. So then you can't say anymore, oh, I thought I'd eat the small one, or I thought I wouldn't eat the small one. So that's all constructed into the thing. So yeah, not every Shavuah has that. But here, the formulation of the prohibition is forged by you. And if you built it in a Safek, you can't then say, oh, that's not what the Torah meant. The Torah says, "Kol Yotzei Mepivyasa." So it's not what the Torah said. The Torah says whatever you said, and what you said is you said a built-in a shvuah of suffix. So then you said a shvuah of suffix. Then a shvuah of suffix. That's what it said. But that's because you've constructed the shvuah in this type of a manner. In a different shvuah, which you construct, you say, "I'm not going to eat bread," straight out. Then you're not building it into any shvuah. Then if you when you eat the bread, then you're right. Then it's a vaday. When you eat the bread, that's an action of it. So right at that very moment, it is not contingent on anything. So fine, by that thing, if you set up some sort of a suffix going on into it, which is, out of nowhere kind of suffix, not built into the thing, then there would be a sort of suffix. But here, you can't say it's extraneous to what the Torah meant. Because the idea is when a doubt creeps in out of nowhere, that's a different case than what the prohibition was referring to, and that's why it lacks in rebelliousness. But again, when you set up the shvuah of suffix, of the Al Tanai, then you can't say that it lacks in that. So that's like it's Mefurash from the Torah. It's the same effect. Because the other people, I mean, there's two ways to explain it, to answer. I mean, one way to explain it is that's not a Shavuah of Kol Yotzei Mepivyasa. That's not Shavuah's Bitoy. Shavuah's Bitoy is where you're saying is I'm going to do it, and it involves yourself, where you could or cannot do something. So you're constructing, and then you're constructing a shvuah, and you're bound by that. So then you can construct it with a doubt built in, or not without a doubt built in. But this is shvuah shav. Shvuah shav is where you're just saying a false statement. So it's a false statement. So now, like, or a nonsensical statement, or a patently obvious statement. You know, so now here you're saying a statement which is false, maybe, depending on the future. So that's not, it's a different kind of shvuah, She's saying is this thing which is has nothing to do with you, that you're gonna do something, it's out of your hands, nothing to do with you. So that's right, so there's no doubt built into this, you know. Different kind of shvua. Shvua sheker, the Torah real, the whole idea of shvua is a shvua sheker, or shvua bito is the Torah realizes that the Torah sets down guidelines for perfection. Certain things you have to do, certain things you don't have to do. But Torah also realizes that people have individual issues that they have to deal with, individual, you know, this is like the philosophy behind the thing, but people have individual issues, so a person has a difficulty about with roles. So Torah sets up, there's a phenomenon that a person could set up shavuos and could be bound by his word. There's a phenomenon, Torah recognizes that you could do that. And the Torah saying is whatever you set up, you think it through and you express a truth and something which you want to be bound by, and that whatever you construct, you want to construct a safa tanai, that if I do this, then whatever, you want to construct it straight out, whatever you want to construct. So you can't say that's not what Torah meant. The Torah meant whatever you construct. So that you constructed a tanai one, fine. So you constructed one that has built in suffix. So that's been first on the crowd. The Torah is endorsing whatever you construct. But Shua Shayav is making a false nothing, an empty thing. That's just make a shua which is empty. So that the in the case is empty now, not maybe it's going to become empty in the future. That's already the different case, which you'll say that's not what Torah is referring to. Right, and the standard case Torah is referring to Shua Shav is where this is a Maisa of Shua Shav. Here, this Maisa is a maybe Shua Shav. That's not, you know. At the time where he does the action, it really is hanging whether it will or won't be what the Torah prohibited. It's not like it is. It depends. Is it what Torah made Asar? No, it depends. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. And he's banking on the fact that it won't be. You know what I mean? So in the action, he legitimately will say, his legitimate, you know, argument to say this isn't what Torah's referring to. Now, of course, you can't put yourself into that situation, and that's why we whip the guy, because he's causing shvua sheker, shavs to take place. You know, we can't allow guys to do that. But the action that he's doing isn't intrinsically the action which Torah prohibited. It may or it retroactively will be. But that's where the suffix comes in. You know, that's where he rationalizes and therefore lacks in his rebelliousness, because he's saying, oh, that's not what the Torah is referring to. The Torah is referring to an action which is an action of shvua sheker. This is a shvua sheker. Maybe, maybe no. So it's kind of like the suffix, maybe, maybe no. But if the Torah set it up in a way that every time you do it, it's automatically maybe yes, maybe no, then you can't say, oh, the Torah wasn't referring to this. This is what the Torah is referring to. The Torah set it up that way. So then you can't give that argument. You know, whereas the other Shita holds, it says, I don't care what the Torah set up that way. The point is, it still lacks in rebelliousness. So that you have to relearn, you know. I mean, it is because of the suffix. By the shua, you know, shua. It's because, or by Yisrasa, it's because it's a doubt. It's because you're making the shua, you're doing the action. It's a maybe. Is this the shua shav? Is it not a shua shav? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Depends. We'll see what happens later. So that's why it has doubt, and that's why it lacks in rebelliousness. It's just that the Ram is holding, and the Shita suffix Shema Asra hold, that if the Torah intrinsically is the case where there's a suffix, then you can't give that argument. You can't say that, oh, I wasn't really relaxed in my abilities because I thought that it wasn't going to happen. That's the law. The law is that it may happen, and that's the Torah's targeting. So therefore, you can't give that excuse. But it's still the same, like the same kind of idea, that it's a sort of suffix. When you're doing the thing, it lacks in abilities because it's hanging, because it's doubtful whether it will or won't result in the machlokas is, if the Torah constructed a law, which is mefurash that it's on suffix, do you say that you still have that excuse? Is it intrinsically asar suffix lo shema asara, or is it just because of the fact that that a guy could, the rationalization is that maybe it's not going to happen, and maybe I'm not really against the Torah? That's just, you know, so he feels. He feels I'm not really a bad guy. So they're warning me. Okay, they're warning me, fine, but the reason why I'm doing this is because I think they're going to end up being this role. So look, retroactively, you don't whip a guy for the retroactively. You whip a guy for the action he did as rebellious. You can't retroactively become rebellious. Right? The rebellion is in the action itself. Yeah. I guess what we have to do next time is go back to our Gemara, right? Go back to our Gemara where you throw the ball off the wall, and they warn you, and they say, hey, don't throw the ball, you throw it and they kill somebody by throwing it off the wall. So you try to peg him off the wall and kill him. They say, don't throw the ball off the wall, because if you throw off the ball and it hits him and kills him, you're going to be chayiv. So I would think that's a sra safek, because maybe it's not going to come back. Maybe it's not going to bounce off. Likely what that means. Maybe it's not going to bounce off. Balls bounce off walls. Maybe it's not going to hit him. Okay, who cares? Maybe it's not going to hit him. Even if you shoot him straight away, maybe it's not going to hit him. Right, but that's definitely not a sra safek. But there's obviously, I would think it's Shavasavi. Well, no, that's not Shavasavi. The Adama says it's definitely going to come back. That's what he reads it. But I mean, what's the Hamin Askana? First of all, it seems on the surface to do with Shavasavi, because that's not like maybe some other thing or whatever. You're doing the action, and it's one action of killing him, and you're saying, don't do this thing, otherwise that's like shooting an arrow. Maybe it's not going to hit him. But that's what you're doing. You're doing an action of killing him. It says, don't kill him. Don't do this action of killing him, of murder, because you're going to be Chai Misa if you do it. Now, of course, it may not actually kill him, but that's not Suffolk. That's you're doing the action, and that's part of the action. The action is realized, and it's realized. It's not like a separate thing that, you know, the Suffolk is where there's some other thing which may come, which depends on some external thing, some other thing which has to happen. But here, this is all part of the action. Don't murder him. Don't do this, don't shoot this arrow. This is a murder. Don't murder him, because then you're going to be Chai Misa. And you murder him, so you shoot off the wall. Who cares?
But you wouldn't say like the
Arab. This suffix, is where it's maybe some other. It's dependent on some other thing happening. This is intrinsic in the action. That's what you're doing. You're killing him. You're saying is maybe your action isn't going to be realized. That's not asra suffix. The asra is don't do this action. Don't realize this action, because if you do, you're going to get killed. So you'll say maybe my action wasn't going to be realized. But that's the action. That's what you're trying to do. Say, don't eat this thing, any eating. I'll say, listen, I'll say, maybe I wasn't going to swallow it, maybe I was going to spit it out before, but that's, I'm doing the action, that's all part of the action. So you give a guy a sword, say, if you do this action, the action here is murdering the guy, is shooting the arrow at him. Now, it's true you're doing it off a wall, but that's your action. So the thing is, if you do this action and realize this action, you're going to get killed. And you'll say, maybe it's not going to bounce off the wall. I mean, just let's say, that's part of the thing, is he's shooting it off the wall. So how is that a sword suffix? And that's a Havamina. And if you say, look, I don't know, somehow you say something, then what's the Maskana? No, it is going to come back. It is going to bounce off the wall. It's just a funny back and forth. Right. No, so that's the last question. But at least we have, I mean, without doing a Sra Suffolk, you know, we now hopefully we're in a position that we're going to be able to get an answer to this. I mean, it's still not a gimme, but at least we're, you know. Yes, I'm not sure how long this part's going to take, but the next question in the Gemara, if you look for it in the Gemara, next question is whether or not it's considered a kocha. If you shoot it, throw it off the wall, is that defined as your kawach, your strength, and therefore your chayiv, or you say that's not your kawach, and you're not going to be, wouldn't be chayiv. And it has cases, like by, we have to put water into the mechatas, into a bucket of water, by nothing to do with killing. And it's the question is, if it bounces, if you deflect the water, you have to throw the water into the bucket, do an action throwing into the bucket, let's say. So if you throw it off a wall, it ricochets off a wall, is that considered your kawach or not? Same, it makes it the same question. It's not a question out of Ritzicha, it's a universal question of when you need an action which says your kawach, if you do it off of something, does that define as your kawach or not? So that's Amin Oskana. So that's the next thing after this. Okay, so I guess hopefully we can do this on Monday. Next week and the rest of the week I'm not gonna be giving shiur. Maybe it could be my brother, maybe well, or my father. I'm not really sure. I'm trying to get a replacement for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Are you gonna continue this time?
No, if they do something different.